Bless God. Some people think I should leave this on because I look better. But you're stuck with what you get to see, okay? What a beautiful day. It's going to be hot today. So isn't it nice to be in here where it's climate controlled?
Yes, Tom, it's very nice to be in here where it's time.
Well, thank you for agreeing with me. I appreciate that so much. Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't it great to be a Christian? I mean, just think about it. How wonderful it is for us to be a Christian. I mean, have you really given that some consideration? You know, we go through life and we think, well, yeah, of course I'm a Christian. Or somebody says, hey, are you a Christian? Well, of course I'm a Christian. But what does that really mean? What does it really mean to be a Christian? John 13:35 says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, I've been praying about this message for about 2 weeks, and I had already written down some thoughts, and I had already put some things on paper. And then I heard Pastor Abel's message last week. And I thought, well, that's great. Because my message is like number two in the series. Because I'm also going to be talking a lot about love today, but in a little different concept. Christian means little Christ or little anointed one. Because Christ means anointed one. So if we say we're a Christian, then what we're really saying is we're little anointed ones. We are little Christs. So what does that really mean? How does that come into play? It says that they were first called Christians where? In Antioch. They were first called Christians in Antioch, and actually it wasn't a good term. It was like a put down. You know, they're like, they're Christians. It was that way. But today, I firmly believe that being a Christian, being like Christ, is probably the most important part of my life that you can even imagine. Because everything else that I have in my life all hinges around the fact that I say I'm a Christian. So what does that require of me? And that's what I want to talk about today. Everything we do in life has a purpose. You are aware of that. Everything you do in life has a purpose. Whether it's the work that you do, or the family that you belong to, or even how you relax has a purpose. Because we need to relax. Boy, in this day and age that we're in today, we need to relax. We need to have a way to let things go. Because if you're just living in the moment all the time and everything that's pressing in from the outside, and if you can never take your eyes off of that, then you're going to have a hard time. But Jesus provides a way out of that. Jesus provides a way that we don't have to constantly live in the barrage of things that are coming our way. We have an escape. We have a way out of that. And that's what part of what I want to talk about today. So as a Christian, what is our purpose? Where and why are we here? Why are we here? Well, let's find out. My message today is titled, Jesus in Me. Jesus in Me. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, this is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us, that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Sounds very similar to what Abel spoke about last week. Deep love. Deep love. But then John goes on and he says, no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives, oh, here it is. God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. So the Spirit of God lives where? In me. So when I say I'm a Christian, that means there's something in me, not just about me, but in me. The Spirit of the living God is in me. But then he goes on and says, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Doesn't that sound wonderful and easy? Doesn't that sound easy? Like, it's simple to be a Christian because God's love is in me, and therefore I am in God, and God is in me. It sounds so easy. No matter what happens around us, God loves us. I mean, look at what he has given us. I mean, just look around. Blue sky, green trees, rivers, lakes, wildlife, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, kids. Oh, grandkids. Let me tell you, should have had them first. I mean, I love my kids, but boy, do I love my grandkids. Because I'm like Santa Claus. I mean, all I have to do is love on them. And then when they're really naughty, I just say, okay, they're your kids now. Love is of God. And we should love one another. We should love one another. But wait, just like a Ronco commercial, there's more. Because John went on. John went on and he said this. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. In this world, we are like Jesus. Like Jesus? Isn't that like impossible? How can I be like Jesus? How can I be like Jesus? I just don't get that. But then I think back to something that happened a long, long time ago. Not that long ago. You're nodding your head like it was Jesus. No, this was in my family. I was doing a play probably 30-some years ago. And it was Oklahoma. We were doing Oklahoma. And I was cast as Judd Fry. Judd Fry is not the leading role. It's not the handsome guy. Of course, you knew that. It's not the guy who gets the girl. It's the villain. I was cast as the villain. I know it's hard to believe, but I was a really good villain. And my two-year-old son decided he wanted to be just like his dad. So in the play, Judd Fry, you know, he meets his demise by falling on a knife. You know, that's kind of how he... So on stage, you know, we had a rubber one. And so I made sure and told my kids, oh, no, it's not real. That knife's not real. It's just a rubber knife. So my son would say, I'm Judd Fry. And I have a wubba knife. He had a wubba knife. Why? Why did my son want to be like that guy? Because he wasn't nice. He wasn't a good guy. He wasn't thinking about other people around him. He only thought of himself. And he was a villain. But my son wanted to be like me. So he was Judd Fly. He had a wubba knife. And he was the bad guy. bad die. So is it really that hard to think about, I want to be like somebody other than me? I want to be like somebody other than me? I want to emulate somebody? Because we do it all the time. We do it all the time. I mean, look at all the fashion magazines that people have. I need a new hairstyle. Ooh, I like that one. And don't they do that? I'm just guessing because I can't do that. I mean, it's like, oh, I'd love a new hairstyle. Well, that ain't going to happen. You got to have hair, right? But nonetheless, we want to emulate somebody other than us. And I think the person I want to emulate the most is Jesus. Because in this world, we are like Jesus. So my first point is love like Jesus. Now I picked this picture. Anybody, by the way, this is Rio de Janeiro. Anybody ever been to Rio? Yeah, me either. The statue is called, I think it's called, oh, I don't remember. I looked it up once. But it's Jesus, right? It's Jesus, Blessed Redeemer, I think it is. And that's the city of Rio de Janeiro. And the reason I picked this picture is because, I don't know if you're aware of this, Rio is not a very godly city. It's not. I mean, there's a lot of less than pure things that happen in Rio. But when I look at this picture, I see Rio kind of as the world. And Jesus is still there with his arms outstretched, saying, even though you're evil, I love you. Even though you do things I don't agree with, I love you. I'm here for you. Jesus, Blessed Redeemer. That's the name of it. Even though you're not doing the things I think you should do, I still love you. So we have to love like Jesus. And this is how we do that. John 15 says, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So, given that, we can love like Jesus. Everything that the Father taught him, he's given to us. And that means we should be able to love just like Jesus loves. So when I look out here and I see people, I could say, oh, I love you. Well, you know what? I love you. And I love you. And I love you. But it's real easy in here because we're all part of the family of God, right? But what about those people out there? What about those people who, not out there, like watching us on the TV. I mean like out there. What about them? Shouldn't we love them the way Jesus loves them? Why is that so hard? Well, you know, they're different. Well, let me tell you, I'm looking out here at a bunch of people that look pretty different. Pretty different. I didn't look at you when I said that. I was looking over there. But I wasn't looking at you. I won't tell you who I was looking at. But you know who you are. I mean, we're all different. Just think about that. We're all different, but we're also all a lot the same. And Jesus came to love everybody. So I want to talk about the first one is the woman caught in adultery. The woman that was caught in adultery. Now we know that was awful. I think it's awful today. When they kept questioning, oh, by the way, we're about halfway into this because, you know, they brought the woman to him and said, you know, she has broken the law. Shouldn't we stone her? Isn't that what the law says? And the scripture says Jesus just knelt down and started writing in the sand, drawing pictures. And then it says, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left and the woman still standing there. And Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. Now, Jesus didn't overlook her sinful life. He told her, go and sin no more, if you're in King James. Go and sin no more. He didn't say,
oh, you know, you're fine. You've never done anything wrong.
He never said that at all. He said, go and sin no more. There were no harsh words. There was no condemnation. There was just love. There was just love. He was looking into the hearts of people, and the love of Jesus met them where they lived. He looked into not only her heart, but the hearts of the people that wanted to stone her. He was looking into their hearts. And what does he say to her? I don't condemn you either. But you can't do that anymore. He was very kind. In fact, the only time in Scripture where I read where Jesus is angry with people, it's with people inside the church who are not doing things correctly. When he gets angry at the synagogue and he throws down the tables of the money changers, they're church people. Or when he talks to the Pharisees and calls them hypocrites and talks very harshly about people, it's not about the people who are out there that he's coming in contact with day after day after day after day, who have needs and who are pressing around him. It's not them. It's the people in church who are setting up rules and regulations that it's almost impossible for people to follow. And of course, if you want to get past this, then all you got to do is pay this. And you know what? Everything will be fine for a while until the next time you mess up. Jesus was only harsh with them. He was always caring and compassionate with the people that he encountered day by day. So the first thing we have to remember is if we want to be like Jesus, we have to love like Jesus. It used to be an old song, Julie, makes me love everybody. Old time religion, right? Anybody here old like me? It's the old time religion, makes me love everybody. And that's real easy when you're in your tight group circle of friends. But we need to extend it out a little bit further. And when Jesus was teaching his disciples, he was teaching them the importance of loving people who are not in that tight circle of friends. It's very important for us, no matter who we come in contact with, because there are a lot of people in this world today who don't feel loved. There are many, many people who just feel like the world is against them. Their family is against them. But yet Jesus said, if God be for you, who can be against you? So the first thing we need to do is love like Jesus. And then the second thing we need to do is look like Jesus. Now, I don't mean look like Jesus. But I mean, look like Jesus. Look for things or at things the way Jesus looked at people and at situations. We need to look the way that Jesus looked. We need to go beyond what we see and see what Jesus would see. Is that in the right place? Oh, it is. It is. This is called the Zacchaeus tree. It's in Jericho. So if you ever go to Jericho, that, they believe, is a tree, a sycamore fig tree that was there during the time that Jesus met Zacchaeus. So that's what the tree looks like. So I put this in so you could see, oh yeah, you could climb up that and be out on a limb. Sometimes we need to get out on a limb. So I want to read about Zacchaeus. In Luke, he says, Jesus entered into Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. So right there it tells you he's not a very nice man. How many people like taxes? I mean, you can be honest. Now, I got to tell you, I don't mind paying my taxes. I really don't mind paying my taxes. I want to pay what I owe, but not a penny more. Because I understand what taxes do. Taxes pay for somebody to tell me how to build my house. Taxes pay for somebody to tell me that I can't park that there. But also taxes pay for my street to be paved and or my street to be cleaned. Or it may pay for, well, let's see, unemployment or things of that nature. There are good things that come out of taxes. But not in this situation. A tax collector in this time, he would overtax people and he would scam money off the top. And the taxes didn't necessarily go to Jerusalem. They went to Rome. And so they were not liked. And what does this say? He was a chief tax collector. So he wasn't just your average tax collector who ripped you off. He was a major tax collector who really ripped you off. They didn't like him. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, I know how that is. Because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, right there it says, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So here is Jesus walking through Jerusalem, and all of these people are pressing around him, and because his fame has grown, and they know who he is, and he's walking through Jerusalem, and all the people are looking at him, and where is Jesus looking? Up in a tree. He's looking up in a tree because there's somebody up there who needs something. Everybody else is looking elsewhere. Jesus is looking for somebody. And he looks up in the tree and he says, Zacchaeus, he knew him by name. It just said he was passing through. Jesus was just passing through. But he looks up in a tree and he says, Zacchaeus, you need to come down immediately because we need to go to your house and do tea. Let's go do lunch. I want to come to your house today. Oh, but then the people. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. So here we have Jesus looking for somebody's life to touch and to change. And he says, I'm going to your house today. And the people around just said, whoa, this isn't good. He's going to a sinner's house. He's going to a sinner's house. Maybe he's not who we thought he was. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came looking for somebody to save. He came looking for somebody, anybody, that he could bless their life and he could make their life better. He came looking for someone because Jesus was looking right. When my youngest son was little, very little, he would talk to his mom. You know, he would try and talk. I was working. I was gone most of the time during the day. But he would talk to his mom, and he'd start talking to her. And I don't know if you guys know Vicky. Vicky has a hard time just doing one thing. I mean, she's doing 100 things at a time. So if you're talking to her, she's also cooking or cleaning or exercising or something. She can't just sit. She's not a sitter. And Doug would be talking to her, and even when she was holding him and he'd be talking, she'd be over here doing this and this and this and this, and Doug would start talking and she was doing her thing because she's Vicky. And Doug would reach over, take her face, turn it toward him and say, "Mom, you're not looking right." Because she wasn't looking at him. And I remembered that so well. "Mom, you're not looking right." And I thought, how many times do I do that with other people? When people come and talk to me, or they come and they say, "Hey, can you this and this and this and this?" And they're talking, but I'm really not looking. I'm hearing, but am I really hearing? I see them there, but am I really intent? And this little boy said, "Mom, you're not looking right." And I think that's part of what we need to start doing more to be like Jesus, is we need to start looking right. We need to look for who we can bless. We need to look for who we can minister to. We need to look for. Because Jesus came into the town and there were all of these people around him, and he was talking with people and he was ministering to people. But then all of a sudden he looks up and he sees a little bitty guy up in a tree and he says, "Oh, that's him. That's the guy I need to talk to today." And he goes, "Zacchaeus, you need to come down immediately because I need to go to your house today." Why? Because Jesus knew Zacchaeus needed salvation. He knew that Zacchaeus needed a change in his life. He knew that Zacchaeus needed something that only he could supply. Because all of the material things on earth, Zacchaeus had them. He was wealthy. Anything that he wanted, he could buy. He could do that. But there is something that money cannot buy. There are some things that money just cannot buy. And that was one of them. In Mark 5:32, there's a woman who has an issue of blood. We've read the story. I don't need to tell you a lot of that. There's a woman who's been an issue of blood, okay? She was bleeding. And the Bible says she was for 12 years. 12 years. And she had gone to doctor after doctor, and she had spent all of her money trying to be cured of this. And she went everywhere. And Jesus was walking through town. And she said to herself, "Oh, if I can just reach out and I can touch him, I'll be healed. I'll be healed. If I can just reach out and touch him, this will stop." She had so much belief in what he was doing, because remember, his fame has grown. Everywhere he went, he was healing people. He was touching people. And she says, "I'll just reach out and touch him." And in Mark 5, it says, "But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it." The Bible says that he felt virtue go out of his body. He felt healing go out from him. She touched him and somebody touched me. And it says that Jesus kept looking around, just kind of like I'm doing right now. "Hey, who did it? Who did it? One of you touched me. I know it was one of you." And he even said, as soon as she touched him, he even said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And his disciples look around and said,
"Jesus, you got to be kidding. I mean, look at all the people here. All these people are pushing and pressing, and you want to know who touched you?"
And then it says, but he kept looking around to see who had done it.
Whoops, go back.
Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Now, you have to also remember, Jesus was a rabbi. He was a Jewish rabbi. Women were not supposed to touch him, especially women who were bleeding. They were not supposed to touch him. It was against the law. It was against the law. And she reached out and touched him. And so that is why she's trembling in fear, because she's not supposed to do that. But Jesus wasn't angry. He wasn't defensive. What was it? He was, "Daughter, daughter, just go your way. Your faith has healed you." That's how Jesus looked at people. That's how Jesus saw people. He saw people for who they were and for what they needed, and saw into their hearts at that point in time. So first, we need to love like Jesus. And secondly, we need to look like Jesus. We need to see things that Jesus saw. We need to look out there and see, who is it? Who is it out there that I can minister to? And we may think, well, I can't minister to people. I beg to differ. I think we all can. I think we all can. And there are ways. The third point I want to talk about is living like Jesus. So we need to love like Jesus, and we need to look like Jesus, and now we need to live like Jesus. Well, I can't live like Jesus. He was holy. He was the Son of God. He was like perfect. I can't be perfect. Jesus isn't asking you to be perfect. He's asking you to be like him. My son wants to be like me, wanted to be like me. Was I perfect? No. I was really close, but I wasn't perfect. But yet my son wanted to be like me. Jesus says that we need to live like him. So while Jesus was, this is in Luke chapter 5, by the way, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Immediately the leprosy left him. Now, leprosy at the time, it was worse than COVID. It was worse than what we're dealing with today. Leprosy at the time, if you had leprosy, you were an outcast. You were a total outcast. You had to be in your own area. You couldn't be among the people. If you were walking down the street and I had leprosy and I saw Bob here coming up the other side, I was supposed to go to the other side of the street and yell out, "Unclean, unclean," so that he knew I had something wrong with me. Because that was the thing of the day. But this man fell at Jesus' feet, put his face right down, and he said, "Lord, if you're willing, I can be clean." And Jesus says, "I'm willing." And then it says, he reached out and he touched him. He touched him. He didn't see it as something to be afraid of. He didn't see it as something to shun away from. He saw it as an opportunity for him to touch somebody and bring healing to their life. That's what we need to do. We need to look for a way that we can touch somebody, that we can minister to their need, whatever their need is. Sometimes it's a physical touch. Sometimes you just need to have somebody touch you. Sometimes, and quite frankly, there are a lot of people right now because of COVID that are really isolated, that are really off by themselves. My mother-in-law, Mom, I know you're watching at home because you're at my house, so don't listen. My mother-in-law, she was staying in this really nice place. And it was wonderful. I mean, I remember when she moved there, it was like living on a cruise ship on land. Because, you know, they had really nice facility. And when you wanted dinner, you just came down and got it. And it was like white tablecloths, really nice stuff.
Oh, today I think I'll have that.
And you get it, right? And it was wonderful. Oh, you want to play bingo? Come down and play bingo. Oh, we're going to have some kind of a game down here. And it's like living on a cruise ship. Until COVID hit. And everything changed. They're isolated to their rooms. No more eating in the dining room. We'll bring it to your room for you. So the white tablecloths went away. The really nice silverware went away. You still got to kind of choose what you wanted. It came in a styrofoam box and it was usually cold. And even more importantly, people weren't allowed to come and visit. So they sat in their rooms and they got lonely. Not just my mom, but people around. And that is very hard because as people, we need that interaction. We need that touch. We need that opportunity to be near people. Otherwise, we can get really depressed. We can get really lonely. And then the weight of the world just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And pretty soon you're not doing anything and you're getting weaker and weaker and weaker. So we solved that by telling Mom she could come and live with us. We got her out of that situation. And the best part about it, this is the best part about it. I do most of the cooking at our house now since I've retired. And my mother-in-law just raves over my cooking. And I'm not that good a cook. But I think it's the fact that, oh, it's not in styrofoam, and it's warm, and I put a little salt on it. But you would think I was like Chef Tom. No, it's Chef Boyardee. I mean, it's an egg with a sausage patty. Oh, this is the best thing I've ever had. Oh, Mom, you can live here forever. Let me tell you, sometimes it's that little touch. It's that little thing. And I love that woman to death. And for her to be in my house, what a blessing. Not for her, for me. For me. For my wife. My wife gets to see her mom every day. Every day. Yeah, can you imagine how wonderful that is for my wife and for my mom? Well, my mother-in-law, but we don't do in-law stuff at our house. Let me tell you, sometimes it's those little things. I had an extra room. It was a spare guest room. It was just a guest room. I would say 48 weeks out of the year, it just sits there empty. It stays really nice because nobody ever goes in there. And now somebody's life is being touched because I just had an extra room. Was it that hard for me? No. Is it a ministry? Absolutely. Is it to my mother-in-law? Partly. Remember, anything that we do for Jesus also is a blessing for us. We need to live just like Jesus. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this. He was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Even little kids. Jesus loves the little children. All the little children of the world. Jesus loves them. Let me tell you, I don't care if you're 8 or you're 80. Jesus loves you. Jesus gave his life for you. I don't care if you're at home. I don't care if you're here in this place. Jesus loves us. And he lived his life so that we can live our life. And he gave us an example of what it is to be a Christian. He gave us a wonderful example of what it is to be a Christian. Matthew 9:35, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And when I see all the things in the news, and all these people who are out there, and they're crying out for something, and I think some of them don't even know what they're crying out for. And that's kind of what I see. Sheep without a shepherd. Running here and there. Oh, the crowd's going over there. I'm going to go over there too. Anybody ever seen sheep? I was coming back from Portland one time, a long time ago. And I remember just that side of Scappoose. There was this dip in the road. And there's this little gravel road that goes off to the side. And there were sheep up on the road. Sheep. Not exactly what I expected to see on Highway 30. But I thought, this is a dangerous situation. So I pulled over to the side of the road, Vicky and I, and I walked down the road, and there's a guy down in there. And I said, did you know that, like, your sheep are up on Highway 30? Oh, no, I didn't know that. Sheep without a shepherd will go where they're not supposed to go. Sheep without a shepherd will follow somebody. And it's usually the one that went out the side and got over here. And so all the sheep go over there while the shepherd's over here thinking he's guarding the sheep, and the sheep are out in the highway. Sometimes when you look out at people, masses of people, sometimes they're crying out because they don't know where they're going. They don't know where to go because they don't have somebody who's loving and caring leading them. In Ephesians, Paul wrote, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you." So we can live just like Jesus. Be compassionate with one another. Care about people. Look for what it is that's just a little bit bothering them. I mean, it doesn't have to be big. It can be a little bit. Yesterday I was out doing wonderful things, because that's all I do. If it's not wonderful, I don't do it. And so I was out with some friends, and I looked down and I saw this sliver in my hand. And you know, I didn't even know that sliver was there until I saw it. And I looked down and I thought, ow, that hurts. I didn't even know it was there till I looked and I saw it. And I thought, oh, that must be painful. And so then the only thing I could think about was getting that sliver out of there. Because it's hurting now. So I got the sliver out, and oh, I felt so much better. A little bitty sliver. Just a little. I mean, it was smaller than that. It was like maybe that big. A little bitty sliver. Sometimes it's the little things that irritate us the most. Sometimes it's those little things. Well, that person didn't say thank you. Well, I worked so hard making that meal, and they didn't even say thank you. I can say that because I cook now. But my mother-in-law said, oh, that is so good. Let me tell you, it's the little things in life sometimes that we overlook. Jesus looked for everything that he could do to bless somebody else. Sometimes it's just a phone call. Hey, how you doing? How are you? I called somebody last week. How are you doing? I'm doing really good right now. My daughter just came and fixed the flat tire. We were stranded on the road. But it's so nice that you called. And I just thought, well, I just called to see how you are. Sometimes it's those little bitty things. I want to live just like Jesus, just like him. I would rather do the things that bless others than just bless me. I'm real easy. But sometimes the lives of others aren't as easy as I think mine are right now. Matthew. This is my final scripture today. Matthew. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Anything that you want to have happen to you, do that to others. Do that to others. Because that's what Jesus would do. So as you go out of here today, wherever you are going, whatever you are doing, look for opportunities to be like Jesus. Because Jesus is in us. For some people in this world, the only Jesus they're going to see is the Jesus that lives in me. For some people, they're in a really hard time in their life right now. And it could just be anxiety over everything that's going on. It could just be unsurety. It could just be any little thing, that sliver in their finger. And I want to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. I want to be the person that's looking for a way to bless somebody and not condemn them. I want to be the person that says, you know, that's okay. That's okay, because you know what? You're just like me. And if Jesus loves me, he can love you. I want to bless other people. Because you know what? I get more blessing out of blessing other people than I do out of just blessing myself. Because when I cook for myself, it's no big deal. But when I cook for somebody else, and they love it, I think their taste buds are really wacky. But when somebody tells you and shows you that they truly, truly love you, deeply love you, there's no medicine in the world that can match what Jesus can do in somebody's heart and somebody's life. There's no salve you can put on a wound. There's nothing out there like having the peace and the joy and the love of Jesus deep down in your heart. As a Christian, remember I said, isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? And a little anointed one? What are we anointed to do? What is it that we are called to do? We're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. It's not just so that the sun will shine on me and I look wonderful because I'm failing. But it's so I can make a difference in somebody else's life because of who lives in me. Because it's not me. It's Jesus in me. So we need to look for opportunities to help those who are in need. Be prepared to pray for someone who needs healing when you see a need. Have time for everyone, not excluding anyone. See people for who they really are, because everybody, including us, we're just people who are in need of the love of Jesus. Last week, Pastor Abel said we need to have a deep love. And this week, I just want to say that deep love has to be for everybody. Everybody. Because everybody has an issue. I don't care who it is. Everybody has something. Something. That if you looked really deep down inside, they have a need. They have a need in their life. They have a need in their heart. And sometimes they just need to know that somebody cares. And somebody loves them. So remember, it's Jesus in me. Jesus in me. So what am I going to do with Jesus in me? Let me tell you, if Jesus is in you, it should be really hard for you to keep it from coming out. If there's something deep in you and it's just growing and growing and growing, it's hard to just hold it in. And if it spills out, and it spills out on others, then it's doing what it's supposed to do. There's a quote from a play that says, this is about money. Money is like manure. It's not any good unless you spread it around. And I want to tell you, the love of Jesus isn't any good unless you're spreading it around. The love of Jesus needs to be from you to them, whoever them is. We need to be in this world, we need to be just like Jesus. And you'll see a difference in people that you've never seen before. Let's pray. Lord, we're just so thankful that you gave us an example to follow. We can read in your scripture all of the things that Jesus did, and everywhere he went, the crowds would follow him because he was healing people. He was blessing people. He was changing lives. He was forgiving people. Every person that came in contact with Jesus, it made a difference in their life. And John said, in this world, we are like Jesus. So Lord, we just pray this morning that you would open our eyes and open our hearts and let us love the way that Jesus loved everybody. And let us look the way Jesus looked. Let us see and seek to save the lost. And let us look for opportunities to pray and bless other people. And then, Lord, let us live just like you. Let us live our lives so that the Jesus in me is the Jesus people see. And if there's anybody here who says, yeah, you know, I've never experienced that kind of deep love. I have a hard time with that. This is a great day to start. This is a great day to begin to live like Jesus and bless other people. And if you don't know Jesus, whether it's here or out there, if you don't know who Jesus is, I want to pray with you today. If you need to have that kind of love and that kind of confidence that when the time comes and we stand before Jesus and Jesus says, you know what? You're just like me. Then I want you to pray with me. Dear Jesus, I want to be like you. I want to love the way you love. I want to see people the way you see people. I want to live my life the way you would have me live my life. Because I don't want to be like me. I want to be like you. And I just pray this morning, Jesus, that you would come into my life and be the part of me that lets me be Jesus to somebody else. because it's Jesus in me, and I want that to come out and to bless others. And we ask this in your blessed name. And Lord, as we go about our way this week, give us opportunity to bless others. Give us opportunity to speak into people's lives. Give us opportunity to just love on people. Because right now, people need the love of Jesus. And we ask this in your name. Amen? Amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you, because that is who He is. And be Jesus. Be like Jesus, because as John said, in this world, we are like Jesus. Have a great day and a blessed week.